My cats can tell time. Around 6:15 every evening, Birdie starts her insistent nuzzling, light biting, and absolutely ferocious purring routine. If I even so much as shift my weight on the sofa, she sees it as a sign that dinner time is imminent. Now, every morning at 10:45, Birdie and her sister Winnie make their way into my office and wait for me to head down to the kitchen, because it's snack time. And for what it's worth, I've also discovered that Winnie has a litter box ritual that starts at 5 p.m. every day. Now, I'm not trying to say that my cats are special. I mean, obviously, they are special. But not because they can tell time. I think anyone who has cared for a pet knows that animals have a great sense of time, especially when it comes to anything related to digestion. I'm Tara McMullen, and you're listening to What Works, the show about rethinking work, business, and leadership for the 21st century economy. A 2018 study by Daniel Dombeck at Northwestern University actually put this folk knowledge of pets and animals telling time to the test. He and his team studied mice behavior during a timed task. They also did brain imaging to figure out what brain cells fired while the mice waited for the correct time to elapse. Now, not only did the mice perform the task using the right timing, but the neuroscientists could actually track how the wait time impacted the brains of the mice. And the mice, it turned out, could tell time too. When we think about time, we tend to think about clocks and calendars. But clocks and calendars aren't time. They don't produce time. They're not even precise measures of time. Time is a relative embodied experience. That's why Dombeck's mice and my cats can tell time, even though they can't make heads or tails of a calendar or a clock. On a calendar, each day is the same shape. A box exactly the same size as the ones beside it, above it, and below it. One day is the same as any other day. On a clock, each hour is equidistant from the hours on either side of it. One hour is the same as the next. We regulate our lives, and especially our work, with technologies that turn the passage of time into equal quantities. On the calendar, we all live the same Monday, and that Monday is the same as any other Monday. On the clock, we all live the same noon, and that noon is the same as any other noon. We measure productivity as the productive output achieved during a certain period of time. Being more productive is achieving the same amount of output, but in less time. It's simple enough math, as long as we're willing to treat labor hours and tasks as interchangeable. Or to take another example, writes ecological economist Tim Jackson, what is to be gained by asking the New York Philharmonic to play Beethoven's Ninth Symphony faster and faster each year? As theorist Barbara Adam points out, we exist in time with two different sets of assumptions. One set of assumptions regulates our economic activity, and the other set of assumptions shapes our experience and quality of life. One set of assumptions turns clocks and calendars into infallible technologies. The other set of assumptions, notices that the days get shorter as the air grows colder. To underscore just how different these sets of assumptions are, Adam points out that while tempo and timing are crucial and contextually unique in living processes, the tempo and timing of clock time are preset by the designer. Any variation in the timing and tempo of a clock, then, she notes, would be a sign of a broken clock. But as a counterpoint, I'll add that our hearts beat at a wide range of tempos throughout the day. At rest, they might beat once per second. In a lively meeting, they might beat 80 or 90 times per minute. In the middle of a 5K race, my heart will beat at more than twice that rate. Economic activity, broadly defined, relies on the perception of time we learn from clocks and calendars. Sameness and equal measure. But our life activity exists within a malleable and visceral experience of time. Time changes based on what I'm doing, how I'm feeling, who I'm with, and what my senses tell me. Winter time is different from summer time. New baby time is different from visiting colleges time.
How? How is this possible? Tell me.
Not so fast.
People don't understand time. It's not what you think it is.
Then what is it?
Complicated.
Tell me.
Very complicated.
I'm clever and I'm listening. And don't patronize me because people have died and I'm not happy. Tell me.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
Yeah, I've seen this bit before.
I know that an hour spent writing at 6 a.m. is different than an hour spent writing at 11 p.m. In the morning, my thoughts flow easily. But at night, my brain feels sluggish and my words don't fit together. Others, of course, have the exact opposite experience. My experience of time is unique, as is your experience of time. Each hour, each day, each year is unique. My noon is different from your noon. My noon today is different from my noon a week from now. Our intuitive and embodied sense of time accepts this uniqueness. But the clock and the calendar, well, they don't. Now, this is an especially timey-wimey season. Unless you're working in retail or hospitality, in which case, please, please take care of yourself. There's a good chance that productivity just isn't as important right now as it normally is. The days are a little chattier, the hours a little more relaxed. Maybe the out-of-office reply is already up, and Zoom is blessedly shut down until the new year. This is a liminal period where the experience of time shifts toward the malleable and visceral and away from the precision of the economic. Maybe we are still rushing around, but it's because we're trying to fit in more hugs, more laughs, and more memories. Maybe even a little more sleep. So if I can offer one more provocation concerning work before the year is out, it is this. I believe we do more meaningful, more satisfying, and more valuable work when we let the work process be timey-wimey. innovation, creativity, and analysis, well, they know about as much as my cats when it comes to calendars and clocks. Collaboration and care are even less concerned with the regulation of economic activity. Throughout the knowledge, service, and care sectors, the skills we prize most require our experience rather than our productivity, our attention rather than our measurement. What would it take to make the kind of time we experience in the last few days of the year the kind of time we experience all year round? How could we work differently if we gave less attention to the calendar or the clock and more attention to our senses? Now, I'm not naive, at least not on this. Calendars and clocks are important and useful tools. But I think we'd be much better off if we remember that clocks and calendars can't dictate our experience of time unless we let them. I want to leave you with a few lines from Ted Chiang's short story, The Life Cycle of Software Objects. He writes, "If you want to create the common sense that comes from 20 years of being in the world, you need to devote 20 years to the task. You can't assemble an equivalent collection of heuristics in less time. Experience is algorithmically incompressible."